And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman Report. Thanks for joining us. Wow. What a day. The Hagman and Hagman Report coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. It's, we've got a great show planned for you this, this night. We've got, Dr. Ted Brewer coming on. I asked, Dr. Brewer to come on, to talk about a number of things, especially the political landscape and how that relates to the, how everything is relating right now to kind of a end game scenario in a sense. He's been doing a lot of analysis about the current events, geopolitical events and everything against the as JD likes to call it, the freaky stuff. And I think that there's a lot of freaky stuff going on in the world here. We're certainly no shortage of that. Folks, two websites, HagmanReport.com, that's for news, information, analysis, investigative reports, and kind of a hub of all of our works. That's HagmanReport.com, and of course, Hagman and Hagman.com. Folks, visit HagmanReport.com. And also, please, we're on Facebook and Twitter. We've got Facebook and Twitter presence. Definitely follow us on Twitter and Facebook. It's Hagman Report on Twitter. So there you have it. We've got two separate websites, as I mentioned. Now, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigative researcher, and my son, Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier investigative father-son reporting team. Now, just to open the show, I want to mention one thing, Joe, and I saw this. What's developing with respect to the civil riots? The riots that are taking place in Charlotte. The report just came out that the victim, well, the perpetrator, not the victim, but the perpetrator or the victim of the gunshot wound, the fatal gunshot wound in Charlotte, his fingerprints are on that weapon that they found, and the weapon was found as shown by Channel 9 News. Now, there was another video shot that was released today. That was by the family of the man that was shot in Charlotte. Okay.
No, you're talking about the man shot by the police or the protester who shot the other protester?
No, I'm talking about the man that was shot by police in this case. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the family just released a video today. They had this video. The wife of the man who was shot had taken this video contemporaneous to the shooting while the police were responding. What happened was this gentleman who had a traumatic brain injury. And I'm not exactly 100% sure. I've not seen any credible reports listing, you know, his mental state at the time and his mental faculties. But he was in his vehicle. A warrant was being served. Of course, folks, you know all of this. A warrant was being served. The officers were in the process of serving a warrant on another person, unrelated to this gentleman. Saw this guy with a gun, called for backup, and of course engaged this man. Ultimately, then this man was shot. Well, during the whole process, this man's wife, the victim's wife, had left him in the car while she went to get a cell phone charger and came back out, and that's when she happened upon the police engaging her husband, the man that was shot, at the vehicle. There's videotape there's a video that she released, apparently taken from her cell phone, and she captured all of this. Now she's shouting commands to her husband to stay in the car or cooperate. It's pretty difficult to listen to, and it's pretty difficult to watch for a number of reasons. And I'm saying difficult to watch because it's emotional, although arguably it is. It's difficult to watch because of the how it was taken. I mean, there's motion, and certainly, you know, and it's the camera goes from one side to the other and moves around a bit. So it's difficult to really isolate the actions of the police officers. And she does not capture the moment of the shooting. But the reason I'm bringing this up is for her to release this, not to the police, or not to make its existence known out there. But she released it publicly. In fact, I believe it was to a reporter from MSNBC who she released it to. And they played it. I think that there was something behind this, something a little bit more nefarious behind this. Not necessarily, well, I just don't like the way this is unfolding here. I don't like the way this is playing out. And, of course, the video from this woman shows the police officers around this man, and it almost appears, according to this woman and others who have looked at this video, because of the angle, it almost looks like it was a gun, the gun that they say was found at the scene. Everyone is claiming on the family side that there was no gun. And of course, they came out initially and said there was no gun. The reason this is important, and I'll just cut right down to the bare bones here. The reason this is important is because this is going to be used and is being used as the reason or as a legitimate reason for these riots, for this uprising in Charlotte. But it's not limited there. There is other people and organizations involved that are taking this nationwide under the banner, under the meme of rogue police officers shooting unarmed black people. And this is the new shot in the arm after the dispatch of the National Guard to Charlotte and the extra police presence. So this is done, in my view anyway, not to get to the truth of the matter. This is not done to get to the truth of the matter with respect to the shooting. This, I believe, this is done to create this pandemonium and chaos for cause. Joe, that's kind of my take on this.
Yeah.
Now, they came back and said, look, there was a loaded gun, and there's his fingerprints on the gun. I will say that that's not too easily manufactured. And once you have a crime, a body, and a body on the ground, and you have the investigators or police present at the scene, it's not like television. Trust me when I tell you, it is not easy to fake fingerprints on a weapon. And depending on, too, where were the fingerprints found in addition to the outside of the weapon? Were they found on the ammunition? Was it on the inside of the gun? All of this. And one thing that I have not seen brought up is if this man had a mental impairment from a traumatic brain injury, he's got a weapon? Wouldn't it be irresponsible, as argued by the Democratic National Progressives and the communists out there, that no person with a mental impairment or infirmity should have a weapon? And yet,
yeah,
that just goes right over
everyone's
head. I mean,
that's a great point. At the same time, I think that is something, you know, so new that there are, you know, so many people out there that have histories, right, of mental disorders that still are able to have guns because they have already had them. And this is a story, you know, I've been keeping my eye on it to see the escalation of violence. I know they've implemented a curfew. The National Guard has come in.
Which very few actually abided by the curfew, although it was relatively peaceful.
Yeah, I actually heard some, I don't know if it was a church that was spearheading one of the protests, but they were singing hymns to the police.
Yeah.
You know, shaking their hand, thanking them for their service, trying to create an atmosphere of a oneness with civilization between the police and the protesters. Dr. Ted Brewer is coming up in just a few minutes, but there's a few important pieces I want to hit, and I'm sure Ted's probably going to be talking about these as well. Right under our noses, 2 days ago, the president issued a presidential memorandum, Climate Change and National Security. And this is basically, you can go on the White House and find this for yourself. It's a 6-page document, but it talks about how there's going to be a new framework established for all federal departments and agencies inside the executive branch of the government. They also go on to say climate change poses a significant and growing threat to national security at home and abroad. They even say terrorism takes a backseat to climate change. Now, there's an interesting article out of Bloomberg today that talks about this. Want to slow climate change? Stop having babies.
Of course.
And this plays into a number of their narratives and agendas, one being the depopulation, families having less kids. And they even state that in here, that one of the problems is people are going to have to get away from the platonic family and going to have less kids, or they're going to be paying a much steeper price once it comes to a carbon tax or a cap on emissions. And they go on to state that humans have shown that they're just not willing to give up, you know, their toys, the things that they use, such as vehicles and all the other stuff that creates a carbon footprint, if you will. And because
we're clunkers, there you go.
And the question is, this seems like a pretty heavy ask to ask people about having smaller families, and to actually they're promoting abortion, saying that the problem of climate change is too many people. And they go on to say people will prefer their 10,000 square foot house more so than their children or children that they plan on having. But it also goes on to talk about how the emissions is calculated per capita, per population, per people. And due to the technological advancements, they're going to be able to put, basically label you with your amount of emissions that you produce on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And they say that this is going to, through decarbonizing the economy and the population, is the only way to get this back on track, which is obviously a lie right out of the pit of hell.
Yeah.
And this last story before Ted comes on, Hillary Clinton, we cannot end terrorism without gun control. There have been a few other stories that have hinted around this, and a few of them from the Senate. I think we talked about one from Dick Durbin, where they said that, if we had gun control legislation that had turned into law, the stabbing in Minnesota as well as the bombs in New York would not have happened. Well, now Hillary Clinton has come out and said that in order for our policies to work in ending terrorism, we must include gun control for all Americans. Those are her words. And she goes on to say, well, these are legitimate fears. I believe people are rightfully concerned about violence. Terrorism is also part of violence, and we have to do our best job to keep America safe. Therefore, I've laid out a comprehensive plan about taking on terrorists, going after them where they operate, doing everything we can to take away their territory so they can't mastermind attacks from the air. But we also have to go after them online, because that is where they recruit, radicalize, and direct attacks. We need to do a better job of getting them early. She goes on to add that gun safety reform is, in closing the gun loophole, is a key to ending terrorism. They say, because, it is not only terrorists we need to be worried about, in her words. Terrorism is just part of it when it pertains to gun violence. They say it kills 33,000 people in America every year. We've got to get serious about stemming violence and terrorism in every way we can. And they believe comprehensive gun reform is the way to spearhead that movement. And Clinton continued to make the false claim that the 33,000 Americans are killed by gun violence each year. She initiated this claim in a political ad that first ran in April, but fact checkers from Breitbart News showed that 66% of those 33,000 deaths were actually suicides. And this is just the latest attempt and reason to
those numbers are always
go after gun.
And their statistics are always used to.
And Obama vetoed the 9/11 bill to sue Saudi Arabia.
And his veto could possibly be overridden because of the votes that they have in Congress. But that shows you it's one party, it's one initiative. Really hope and change, right? You Democrats and progressive national socialists out there, Democratic national socialists, hope and change. Yeah, where is that allegiance? Obviously, it's found within the deep bow to Saudi Arabia, to the Saudi Arabian royalty.
And if I can, you know, we look at ISIS, we look at the terrorism stemming from the Middle East, the war-torn region. What are we doing to stop the terrorism over there? We are shipping human guns rights to these terrorists. Guns, right, and equipment, ammunition, body armor, etc.
That's big business. That's a military industrial complex. That's okay, though. You know, it's just much like the if you go to HagmanReport.com, you can see that the war on drugs, the war on guns, it's all of this. Yes, go ahead.
And it's just mind-boggling, and I know Ted's going to want to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
But we have, to break down what's really happening in Syria, we have three different distinct prevalent military forces, powerful military forces there, one being Russia and the nations that are with Russia, two, the United States, well, we have four, I guess, three, the Syrian rebels who were with the United States and have since defected, and ISIS. Now, you have Russia who is going after ISIS. You have the U.S. who continues to target Russia and the Free Syrian Army, everybody except ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been an airstrike that has taken out an aid convoy, the Red Crescent aid convoy, which was carrying thousands of pounds of equipment to the war-torn Aleppo. And the blame has been going back and forth. First, it was reported that Russia was responsible for the bombing. Russia has since came out and denied those claims and offered an alternative theory. But things continue to heat up over there, as much as it's not being talked about in this media due to the election cycle and the other things that are happening.
And the elections, 100 million are expected to be watching the debates on Monday. 100 million, record-setting 100 million people. 90 minutes, no cough breaks, no breaks.
Yeah, no cough breaks.
And that's coming up this coming Monday, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Monday?
And Monday. And I'd like to maybe put some coverage on that on our show. I know L.A. Marzulli is scheduled to come on Monday, but I'd like to get some coverage on those debates. Folks, you know, what do you think?
And we're going to be working this weekend for a little bit.
Yep.
We will create a plan to get the debate going, maybe on a few minute delay. That way we can stop and, you know, go back for a sentence here, a sentence there, and kind of do a play by play, like our live sporting event.
Well, yeah, and maybe we should have the Hillary pass out watch, you know, be on guard for that. She'll probably be on.
Yeah, she'll be phoning it in from her hospital bed.
Be a hologram into the debate arena. You know, the lectern, not the podium, but the lectern. See, that's the proper terminology. It's, you know, what do you stand behind? It's not a podium. You stand behind a lectern. Well, because Trump is over 6 feet and Hillary's what, 5'4", the Hillary team wanted a stool or something to stand on.
Come out in stilts.
And now that would be a podium, for example. That's the correct use of a podium. But instead, they're custom making a lectern to her size, so the disparity won't be as evident. However,
like a rock and roll band, how they lower the stage and then the stage breaks apart and lifts people up, you know?
Well, yeah, but this will be
maybe she'll be on strings like a true puppet, and
we could do that.
That might trigger the epileptic issue.
But it's going to be interesting to see how this does play out on Monday. I don't know, and hopefully we can talk to Ted about this, because I'm wondering if they're going to be able to pull this off, the Hillary team be able to pull this off. And on the Hill, there was a doctor who wrote about her eye condition. It's an interesting assessment. And then
did he tie it into Parkinson's?
No, he tied it into the blood clot on the putting pressure on the sixth optical nerve, or the sixth nerve that runs at the base of the brain to the eye. Whatever the reason, see, it doesn't, the minutia in this, I don't really think matters. What matters is the fact that this woman is not telling the truth about the severity of her illnesses and the truth about her physical state of health.
I don't think she's told the truth once in the last 10 years.
Well, that's it. So,
you know,
at the very least, as Americans, we need, as citizens of the country, and her, the potential being president, we need to know the truth, not before, not after. And I still maintain that it's very possible that something could happen, will happen before or around the date of the election to create or cast doubt on the legitimacy. The ultimate thing here is to create doubt about the legitimacy of the elections, and however they accomplish that, they're going to, I think they're kind of, this is an audible. What I see taking place is that they're calling audibles, meaning they, the globalists, are calling audibles because the events are changing.
And you have Julian Assange coming out saying that he is going to, I'm going to bring Hillary down before the debate stage on September 26th. We know he's been sitting on some documents, some important documents. They appear to be more important per each release. And I think he also has an October surprise.
That's a very dangerous game, though. That's a very dangerous game that he's in. That he's playing. That's a very dangerous situation.
And he's also living at an embassy, though, so he's a little. But he's safer than most.
But I also think he's being. I think there's a level of control there. Now, once more, I think that he's controlled, but I think that there's. It's kind of like a dog off a leash, and he's in. You know, he's still in the fenced yard, but he's off that leash. And he's a rabid dog nonetheless. So that's the way I see it. Now, our guest tonight is Dr. Ted Brewer to comment on these things and more portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Stove. Folks, have you heard about this Minuteman Rocket Stove? If you haven't, and if you haven't already done so, you got to go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Definitely go there. MinutemanStove.com. Take a look at the Rocket Stoves. The Rocket Stoves, it's a perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family for a number of reasons. We'll talk about that later. So again, MinutemanStove.com, and also tonight, HealthMasters.com. That's HealthMasters.com. If you want the best in nutritional supplements anywhere in the world, bar none, I mean, these are the best. That's HealthMasters.com. Our family takes nothing but HealthMasters.
I don't know. I like the Flintstone
you
chewy
are a
vitamins.
Flintstone, man. The gummy bears,
I'm
right?
Just kidding.
You know, the best on the market, HealthMasters.com. And folks, if you have, well, even if you don't have hard water, you want to have the best water you've ever tasted, go to HealthMasters.com and get one of the distillers that they've got. It makes water. It takes all the impurities out of the water. In addition to the water filter that you have, their water distillers are great. And we're going to ask Ted what the coupon code and the promo code is for this special, if he's got one. If not, they're good prices nonetheless. That's HealthMasters.com.
And I know Ted talks about this a lot, but the difference between his vitamins and those you buy anywhere else is the mass store-bought vitamins don't digest properly in your system.
That's right.
You get the bare minimum, if anything, from those pills. And Ted creates his own vitamin supplements in his own lab that is designed to release the full potential and contents of those vitamins. That alone is worth the price of the vitamins.
I've seen videos of Ted with rubber gloves on. He's sitting cross-legged, no pants on, just shorts, and putting all the stuff in the gel capsules. You know, and he's got never mind. I'm kidding. Before we get to Ted, I just want to say happy birthday to Heather's dad. It might be Mr. Martin. I don't know. Tomorrow's his birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. All right.
Dr. Ted Brewer, radio show host right here on Global Star Radio Network. HealthMasters.com is his website. It's great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thanks, Doug. I've been really enjoying your dialogue for the first, 25 minutes or so, because you're absolutely right. There's a lot of stories that I want to comment on, but then we also want to cover the fallen angel agenda tonight. And yes, my young friends who are listening and my older friends, we are going esoteric again tonight. So I've got some crazy stuff to cover with you guys that are going to either make you guys think that I'm completely insane or that basically something else was going on the planet. And some of the stuff I don't even agree with, and I'll make sure I let you know that in advance. So we're going to cover it from all different gamuts tonight. So we're going to have some fun with that. But before we do that, I think we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before you guys go to commercial break. I want to talk about Assad's death warrant. This is an article that came out by Mike Whitney the other day, and it's quoting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I talked about this before on your show about how the reason that Assad basically has had his entire country infiltrated by the CIA and the Mossad is because he did not want to run a gas pipeline from Qatar. Now, Mike Whitney wrote a whole article on this, and he heavily quoted Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and why the Arabs don't want us in Syria. And quote, quite, I want to read you part of this. It says, secret cables and reports by the U.S., Saudi, and Israeli intelligence agencies indicate that the moment Assad rejected the Qatar pipeline, this is a quote from Robert F. Kennedy, by the way, military and intelligence planners quickly arrived at the consensus that fomenting a Sunni uprising in Syria to overthrow the uncooperative Assad was a feasible path to achieving the shared objective of completing the Qatar-Turkey gas link in 2009. According to WikiLeaks, soon after Bashar rejected the Qatar pipeline, the CIA began funding opposition groups in Syria. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The conflict in Syria is not a war in the conventional sense of the word. It's a regime change operation by the CIA. The main driver of the conflict is this country, the United States, has toppled more than 50 sovereign governments since the end of World War II. Washington is in the hands down regime change champion when no one else even comes close. But the United States is not doing the right thing in Syria, arming, training, and funding Islamic terrorists and extremists that have killed 500,000 people and displaced over 7 million more. The war in Syria did not begin with the government of Assad crackdown on protesters in the spring of 2011. That's a complete and total lie, according to this article. The war began in 2009 when Assad rejected the pipeline. Kennedy goes on to say, the $10 billion, 1,500-kilometer pipeline through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Turkey would have linked Qatar directly to the European energy markets via distribution terminals in Turkey. The Qatar Turkey. Yes.
If you can stop there, we are up against the break, and this is interesting stuff. When we come back, we're going to hit on this pipeline pertaining to Syria and Assad right after these messages. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Ted Breuer on this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report.
Hagmann Report coming to you live this night, this episode. Folks, we broadcast on three venues, Global Star Radio Network, also on Blog Talk Radio, as well as YouTube Live. That's where you're watching us right now, if you're watching us. I want to say hello to Officer Sean. Be very careful out there. Sean, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you.
God bless you.
Our men and women in blue. Got a job. Got a heck of a job. We know that you know, there's always issues, but stay safe. Dr. Ted Breuer is our guest. Healthmasters.com. Joe and I have both met Dr. Breuer and his wife, but Dr. Breuer, I should say. And this guy's like, you know, he's got muscles. I mean, he's a big guy, all right? And he takes the vitamins, the nutritional supplements is really great stuff, folks. Follow us on our social networking platforms, Twitter at Hagmann Report and Facebook Hagmann Report. And of course, Instagram. See, now I didn't know this, but there's people taking our picture and I think they might have caught me in my jammies with the flap in the back. The pictures are going up on Instagram. That's what I'm told. Instagram. I didn't even know what it was.
You know,
Instagram.
When we went to Dallas and took the plane ride to Dallas.
Yes.
When we used to do PI work out of town, I used to take pictures when you'd fall asleep in funny.
Yeah, you know, payback story. You know what?
I got a few from the plane that I found today. We'll leave them off Instagram now.
Yeah,
but I just thought I'd mention it because I just came across them.
Well, Ted Breuer, healthmasters.com, is with us, and he was really hitting it hard about Syria, Aleppo, the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Ted, rock on, brother.
Well, thanks, buddy. I just, by the way, it's so funny because I've read three books for the show tonight on this fallen angel agenda. And some of these books are on theoretical biophysics, so I mean, they're not like easy reading. I feel like I'm in the middle of a midterm exam, by the way. I've got so many notes for tonight. So I'm having an oral exam here we'll be covering, starting that in just a few minutes. The $10 billion, another quote again, the $10 billion, 1,500 kilometer pipeline through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Turkey would have linked Qatar directly to the European energy markets via distribution terminals in Turkey. the Qatar-Turkey pipeline would have given the Sunni kingdoms of the Persian Gulf decisive domination of the world natural gas markets and strengthened Qatar, America's closest ally in the Arab world. In 2009, Assad announced he would refuse to sign the treaty to protect the interests of Russia. Assad further enraged the Gulf Sunni monarchs by endorsing a Russian-approved Islamic pipeline running from Iran's side of the gas field through Syria to the ports of Lebanon. The Islamic pipeline would make Shia Iran, instead of Sunni Qatar, the principal supplier to the European energy market and dramatically increase Tehran's influence in the Middle Eastern world. Continue to quote, secret cables and reports by the U.S., Saudi, and Israeli intelligence agencies, this is by Kennedy again, indicate that the movement, that the moment Assad rejected the Qatar pipeline, military and intelligence planners quickly arrived at the consensus that fomenting a Sunni uprising in Syria to overthrow the uncooperative Assad was a feasible path in achieving the shared objectives of completing the Qatar-Turkey pipeline. At that point, the CIA began funding opposition groups in Syria. He goes on to say that during the 1950s, President Eisenhower and the Dulles brothers also mounted a clandestine war against the Arab nationalism. He goes on to say also that the crazy thing about all of this is that they're doing this to run the pipeline from Qatar to stabilize the petrodollar, which the fuel would be traded in, and to help stabilize the U.S. currency. That's what all of this stuff is about, because, guys, remember what happened with Egypt? They wanted to start taking gold and euros for oil. Suddenly, it's overthrown. All of these countries over there basically have been used as pawns in the game to stabilize the dollar and the petrodollar and the reserve currency status that we have in the United States. So it's been interesting. Also, you said something about the riots in North Carolina. I was going to cover that towards the end of the show, but I'll mention that right quickly since you mentioned that earlier. The riots in North Carolina, when the people went out to ask the people for IDs who were rioting, they said that almost everybody was from out of state who was involved in the rioting and the protests.
I saw that, Ted.
Again, that's going to be another thing that, you know, we got, you know, Black Lives Matter with Soros funding these great gangs that go around. Now, I want to caution everybody, we got to pray really hard tonight because this is super important. You know, we're doing everything we can to force Russia into a world war conflict with us right now. We're trying to do an Archduke Ferdinand assassination or whatever we did in World War I to get that thing pumped up, or whatever the Rothschild banking cartel did. But these Rothschild boys are scared to death because suddenly the whole world has the internet and everybody understands who these guys are and what they've done. And they're trying their best to hold on to the Bush, Clinton cartel, Rothschild, Rockefeller power base in Washington, which is quickly evaporating before their eyes. We have to really be careful this particular weekend because of the debates that are coming up, because this is the perfect time right now for a false flag, a major false flag, to stop the debates. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but we just need to stand in prayer that that's not going to happen, because Doug and Joe, I can't personally see how the real Hillary Clinton, which we don't know what's going to show up at the debate podium, could possibly debate Donald Trump without having another seizure, falling down, having a coughing fit, or basically becoming incapacitated in a 90-minute debate. I don't think that's possible unless they send the body double in to do it. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Ted. I'm sorry, man. Ted, are you there?
I'm here, buddy. Yeah, did you hear the question, Doug?
Yeah, no, we're just, Ted, if you can go ahead and talk. We're having some audio issues here. It's internal here, so we apologize.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start on the Fallen Angel agenda, and when you guys get the power back onto your audio, Doug, let me know, because I'm definitely going to need you guys to interact with me on this. I've got about a dozen articles that we're going to cover very quickly, well, it won't be very quickly, in the next hour, about what's going on with the Fallen Angels. I'm going to start with Preston James. He wrote a very interesting article that went out on September the 8th, a very long article, and it's called Subjects and Serfs of the Lesser Gods, with a small G, part three. And I read this, and I've gone ahead and highlighted part of it. It's extremely long, so I'm not going to read it all. You guys can go look it up online if you'd like. And I want to comment on a few of these things that he says in this particular article. He starts off by saying the article is based on anecdotal information provided over the many years of those who are in the periphery of these matters, who are old and are now willing to disclose such information. Such apologies in advance for any information that is incorrect. he said, and he's talking about keeping the American masses in line has always been a major goal since 1913 with the taking over of the Federal, with the Federal Reserve Bank, but has recently become an acute crisis for the top chieftains of the New World Order due to its public wide-scale exposure for the very first time. Exposure and loss of control has become a serious and growing problem for these people because of the advent of the internet, which is also known as the new Gutenberg press. Then he goes on to say that these lesser gods, the fallen ones, I was talking about the fallen angels, who serve as a personal private spirit guide for these globalist top chieftains, have ordered them to do whatever is necessary to regain control or else. Now guys, I'm not saying that I agree with everything he says. I'm not saying that I agree with any of these articles that I'm reading as far as everything. I'm just reading you a bunch of different articles, and you guys are going to have to sort this out yourself, because this is some very strange stuff when you start getting into fallen angels, you start getting to interdimensional entities, and you start talking about the powers that be and how they communicate with these fallen angels or these
kind of makes sense though, Ted.
Yeah.
And once more, you know, it's a shame that we have to offer these disclaimers, folks. But Ted is what Ted is doing is giving you information. It doesn't mean he's endorsing or agreeing with it, but it's information that's out there. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what I believe throughout the whole program here, but I'm just going to read you what these guys are saying first. You know, because it's the same thing, Doug. You know, I don't want everybody to believe that I've lost it and gone Looney Tunes. I had to really pray about even doing this show with you tonight and going this esoteric, because there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, I've read over 1,000 pages in books this week alone. Total, I've read almost 1,200 pages in books in the last month preparing for this show tonight. So I've got so much stuff that we've got to cover. A lot of the stuff was so far out there that I can't even report on it. I don't even want to be associated with it, okay? But a lot of the stuff has become through multiple sources, so I don't mind giving you these people's opinions on it when I've read it in literally hundreds of different articles. Now, this one with Preston James, I particularly like this one because he tries to keep it from a Christian standpoint. Now, the history of these lesser gods, or the fallen angels that I call them, use the top chieftains of the globalists to take over the America and then the whole world step by step. The age-old agenda and obsession of the fallen ones, ever since they were banished to planet Earth, has been to create a globalist New World Order system, with their New World Order ruler as the populist king to be able to assume complete control. Now remember, they tried to do this already with Genesis chapter 6. We've always got to remember Genesis chapter 6 and the book of Enoch, when the angels were sent down here, they were able to take human form, and actually, they weren't supposed to do that, but they did if you read the book of Enoch. And they bred with human women. They left off their form and created the Nephilim. So this is something that's already happened once. So we have to go back to the biblical reference on this. Once the New World Order top chieftains have taken control of a government like they did America in 1913, and they proceed to pervert and corrupt every single institution and major corporation. They then merge their corporations with a government and stack and run the government by their individuals chosen from their corporations, which we've seen in the United States. And along the way, they organize well-funded social movements and other organizations and use them to destroy the moral, religious, values, sex roles, family, and the basic glue that holds any society together. They then begin to traffic illegal drugs and narcotics to do everything possible to create urban blight, crime, and a massive drug and alcohol dependency to destroy the moral fabric, sex roles of the family system. They manipulated America and nations into illegal wars to industrialize the world, to thin the human herd, their words, and to make huge profits for their banks and their associated contractors and corporations. These globalist plans have been completely checkmated by the Russian Federation under Putin, who has deployed precision, satellite-controlled massive air power against their mercenary army, ISIS, which was built up by the CIA and the Mossad and financed by the U.S. government, black funds, and Saudi oil money, along with the money coming in from the drug sales. I added that. The overall goal of the lesser gods, this is again are the one, the fallen ones, is to destroy society and restructure planet Earth, making it unfit for human life and only fit for their new hybrid race. They plan to merge with machines at a molecular level. We'll talk about that later on tonight. This show tonight is going to be one of those you're going to have to hear a couple of times, because we're going to go into some real detailed stuff. Well, these fallen ones, these fallen angels, again, that were spoken in the book of Enoch, they basically, a third of them were thrown from heaven when they rebelled against God Almighty or cast down the planet Earth. They had the ability to manifest themselves in physical form on planet Earth, but they disobeyed Almighty God Almighty's rules in doing so, and then they bred with humans. It was followed by a direct judgment of God Almighty destroying them in Genesis chapter 6. Initially, while these human form of these fallen angels were destroyed by God's judgment, only their disembodied spirits remained. They could then continue their globalist New World plan by finding or creating soulless human surrogates to work through and indwell thereafter. Now, I'm going to say something here. It says in Genesis chapter 6, this is my words again, it says that these fallen angels were here before and after the flood. So I believe while there may be disembodied spirits, this is a lot of the theological teaching from long ago, I also believe that these guys never left after the flood. I mean, if they're in a spaceship or they're an interdimensional being, if the earth gets flooded, they don't have to stay here, they can leave. Of course, now some of them were confined to the deepest, darkest dungeons here on the planet Earth, which is what the Bible says. It would not be wrong to consider these lesser gods who leased out planet Earth in return for souls, which that's, I believe that too, because of what they've done with Hollywood and all the other stuff. The lesser gods, he keeps saying the word lesser gods. I would use the word the fallen ones. He calls them lesser gods. I'm quoting him exactly. We're given control over planet Earth. They were first able to walk around in large human appearing form, 6 fingers, 6 toes, 2 rows of teeth, about 12 feet tall with red hair. Russ Dizdar talks about this, and also L.A. Marzulli talks about this even more than Russ does. But they lost their ability when they violated more of God's almighty rules. Now they're trying to regain this previous superhuman physical status on planet Earth they previously had on Earth, hybridizing humans in mass and filling these human soul containers with their spirit nature. They believe they can do this by combining AI, electromechanical machines, with their own hybridization of the human genome to make new physical containers on Earth, which are inhabitable vessels, which they can merge their spirits within and fill. In return for souls, they were told they'd be able to rule Earth and would later be made eternal gods by Lucifer. It says this in the book of Isaiah, and sit around his council of gods as their reward. This was a lie. They were selected to be used as cutouts and then disposed of when no longer needed, and that time is now approaching. In exchange for giving their souls to Lucifer, these globalists were given supernatural powers. That's in their black magic ceremonies, and their own personal spirit guide, which periodically appeared to give them advice and consent. But there was a serious limitation they were not informed of. The lesser gods, like their chief Lucifer, are liars, deceivers, users of filled with two-faced evil. They were told that Lucifer was rising and would overtake God Almighty and rule the universe, and they would share the rule. This is a lie. Giving up one soul and serving Lucifer is a death sentence, and one soul is and a loss of a continued existence beyond this life on Earth. At the first judgment of God Almighty, which destroyed the earthly physical bodies, these fallen ones regrouped and formed a plan to provide a means for them once again to inhabit physical bodies. In particular, the fallen ones are responsible for planet Earth to corrupt it, take it by globalizing it, to depopulate it, to terraform it, and to take it to the appearance of a Draco alien ET, a sinister spirit being from some claim can shapeshift. I don't know if this is true or not. He's even qualifying himself now. I don't know if this is true either. But there have been numerous reports from respectable abductees of these reptilian-type creatures. Remember, Satan was a snake when he appeared in the Garden of Eden. I'm adding that. Directed to taking biological samples from the abductees of our little grays. The reptilian Satan was a snake and is allegedly dominant alien ET, which directs and serfs the little grays. Now, he jumps here a little bit that I have to try to qualify this for a second. He's saying that these guys are spirit beings, but now he starts talking about the little gray alien ETs.
Tell me again who you're citing. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
Duff. This is Gordon Duff.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry. This is Preston.
Preston.
It's Preston James. I'm only reading. I'm reading about a tenth of this article. It's really, really long.
Sure.
But I want you guys to stay with this, because he starts getting into this ET thing. But he says that these are all basically, spirit beings. But all of a sudden, he jumps to the ET thing, which basically doesn't say what he doesn't deal with that, which we're going to deal with that in just a minute.
Okay.
It was Lucifer, Satan that rebelled. Ongoing wars, societal conflicts are thus necessary. They produce big death counts, lots of human misery, because they feed off the negative energy that is created from this. The function of the fallen ones is to select the world's most potentially evil ones, processed to be the most evil, like Hillary and the social psychopaths, and let them rule over the humans. Now, he quotes a book here that I'm not familiar with. In his infamous book, Rulers of Evil, a book commissioned by several top globalists in order to fulfill one of the cosmic rules of play they are subject to, the rule of mandatory pre-event disclosure for informed consent. In other words, they got to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And some of these are expected to transform the human masses into serfs of the lesser gods, provide a continuing means to feed their negative energy needs, which provides the lesser gods ongoing power. Now, what's interesting about this, he starts talking about the personal spirit guides and all the other stuff they have. Now, I'm not endorsing this article. I'm just telling you what he's saying, okay? I'm just giving you one version of what's happening here in the interdimensional world. You can also read stuff that Tom Horn has written. You can also read stuff that Russ Dizdar has written. And if you want to go to the secular world, if you're not a Christian, you're listening tonight, you can also read the stuff that David Icke has written also. But remember, he is not a Christian. And then it goes on to say the only way these globals would keep the American masses in line for the last 25 years by using their intel agencies to deploy advanced psychotronics, control of the mass major media, which is this all true, and network news cartels, spraying of chemtrails, and the use of nano-flashable smart dust ingested with processed food and through which the air, if continued, is expected to produce a certain degree of hiving when electrically stimulated, flashed by a strong pulse of beams of EMF or scalar waves. Also, they would use drugs and fluoride, I'm adding that. And now there are various quite strong independent covert forces that have emerged inside of the U.S. intel, which have also advanced technology and psychotronic power. They're trying to stop these guys. So he goes on to say this, and what he finally says is that they engineer and deploy events supported by the major mass media. These are typically large catastrophes, like 9/11, I added that, which generate major crises. And the mass fear generated in a subconscious group mind of the American masses must be great enough to motivate them and to be willing to give up more basic human rights. Some of the very nasty things are all the missing nukes, which they could do, but start dropping in the United States right now if they wanted to, or start detonating. And you can bet that these top guys are seriously considering using the CIA and Mossad to set off one of these devices inside of America City. The globalists are probably now looking, trying to cook up covering events in case their much feared financial cliff actually occurs, as their extreme financial manipulations prevent the crumbling of their private Federal Reserve fiat currency system. The United States appears to be headed for a major financial cliff because of what's going on. Collectively, the followers comprise what's referred to by the insiders as the third force and operate under the authority of Lucifer, who basically is ruling planet Earth. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff, you know, Preston James Ince talks about becoming a Christian, loving Jesus, all the things that we already know. But what's interesting, Doug, is that we're having major authors now that have huge readerships that are actually writing about this. Now, I wanted to discuss this one with you because then we're going to jump to some other stuff. What do you guys think about what he wrote? And I mean, does it sound that far fetched, or is it something that's out in Narnia?
You know, you look at just the headlines, the events of today. Look at the speed of which everything is happening, and then you look at the odd nature of the events. No, you know, none of this sounds like it's a stretch. As long as, and I want to stress this, when you, from my point of view, when you read the Bible and you understand what happened, Genesis 6, and you understand that this is not an allegory or metaphor, that you understand this is literal, then I think, yeah, I mean, in context, the events of today make sense, perfect sense. That's just, I mean, that's my viewpoint. Steve Quayle writes about this, of course, you know.
Well, the reason I'm saying all this stuff is that, you know, I'm going to cover some other stuff now that's not from a Christian standpoint. So you guys are going to have to, like, and what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do your own research on this. Now, I know a lot of you already have because Steve Quayle talks about it, Tom Horn talks about it, and I know these guys have been on the show many times. So I just want you to know that at this point in my life, I realize that this stuff that they've talked about in many cases and what Russ Dizdar talks about, this is true. You know, I believe in angels. I believe in demons. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the infallibility of the Scripture. I believe that the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is the Word of God. I believe that God is omnipresent and He's still sitting on the throne. I believe in all of that stuff. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. So I just want to share that with you right now, that we've got a group of people that are serving their masters, Lucifer, and these demon spirits, and he throws in these reptilian aliens and these little grays, like, well, by the way, they have these little guys running around doing their thing. Well, he never addresses where they came from, okay? Because we've got to address that. And so tonight I'm going to address the theories behind this, because of these alien abductions and all the other things that are going on. I told you this is going to be one of those, you know, welcome to the Outer Limits tonight with Ted Brower, because we're going to cover this stuff. I mean, I have worked my butt off. I feel like I've been taking midterms in graduate school with the stuff that I've read. I mean, you start reading books on theoretical biophysics, I tell you what, you got to want to read that book. it's one of those deals.
Theoretical biophysics, okay. Wow.
Yeah, well, no, there's some crazy stuff I've read. Now we're going to read another one. This is an article by Ferguson. This is not a Christian. And she goes into this detail. She goes, chemtrails, ETs, and alien technology, the covert conquest of a dying planet. Have we lost our planet Earth to a faction of greedy, uninvolved, tyrannical extraterrestrials? Now we're talking about the fallen angels now, because that's, you always have to put the fallen angels. Whenever they start talking about aliens, you got to throw that word in there, fallen angels. The connection between the early reports of alien craft propulsion systems using tube-like trousers, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, new promise of portable fusion energy sources in the toroidal tokamak, and frightening aspects of a planetary geoengineering with chemtrails that weaken our immune systems, and now electronic magnetic resonance frequencies, and HARP, and ionospheric heaters. Everything she's talking about is correct. All this stuff is accurate. Timothy Good has written one of the best books ever written regarding the extraterrestrial question with his 2013, I have not read this book, Earth, an Alien Enterprise, the Shocking Truth Behind the Greatest Cover-Up in Human History. In the chapter entitled Technology Transfer, Good describes an incident at the Lockheed Martin Skunk Works near Palmdale, California in 1988, inside the big hangar, where highly classified exotic aircraft including three fully functional saucers, which were referred to as alien reproduction vehicles. One of the crafts had also been seen in 1973 by a man who had a crew chief at Edwards Air Force Base. Now, you think, well, that sounds crazy. Well, I have read so many articles that other people have seen these craft. And remember, the Germans built flying saucers that were flyable during the war. They flew them, and they could accelerate extremely fast. The initial ones couldn't go horizontally. They fixed that technology. So whether these are from alien craft or from German technology, the Germans say themselves, when I talked to Dave Hodges about this last night, Doug, his father was in the Navy, top clearance, and he used to work with the Operation Paperclip boys. And they used to come to Dave's house when Dave was young and have dinner with them, and they always had their handlers with them. And Dave's father, Dave Hodges' father, I'll be on his show on Sunday night talking about this. His father said that the German scientists told them they got their technology from the ETs, from the extraterrestrials. Now, you can believe it or not believe it, but you know, Dave's not making it up. His dad's not making it up. I'm not making it up. We had too big of a technological jump, Doug, from 1915 or so, 1907, when we first started flying airplanes, all the way up until we started doing spaceships in the 60s. I mean, something happened that really pushed up technology extremely fast. Now, this article goes on.
And yes, Dave, or Ted, people need to think about that, too, and analyze that in a very critical form. All of a sudden, did we get smarter, more intelligent, or did we have help?
So, that's right.
Okay, sir.
And by the way, Paul McGuire talks about it too with the Viril Maidens. Dresh Dizdar talks about this too. And the reason I'm using these other guys' names and all of this stuff, I'm not going to be hung out here by myself on all this stuff. This is like the Outer Limits show again. Genetic slavery and genocide in a 1999, another quote unquote remote viewer. Now I'm going to stop here for a second. You say remote viewing, that's new age, that's of the devil and all that kind of stuff. Guys, I'm not saying that it's not of the devil. I'm not saying that it's crazy. I'm just saying this is what they're saying in this article. But I will tell you that our CIA was involved with remote viewing. They were involved with it back in the 70s and the 80s. So now they're talking about this. And then basically this person said there was a war in space and beyond, which we know that. There's a war in the heavenlies. And basically it's for the very survival of our species. Now, if you go look closer to home, it says the worsening drought is decimating the U.S. Western area. The largest genetically modified seed companies are basically destroying the world, basically Monsanto, and now Bayer are going to tie it together. Then we've got weather wars, and then we talk about Dane Whittington, again from his article that he wrote, the Rothschilds and their geoengineering empire. Now you guys can read that.
Hang right there, brother. Hang right there. Talking with Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Interesting show tonight, giving you the research, the product of research, oodles of hours, books read, papers written. Ted Brower, stay right where you're at.